Okay, I think I got it. I think everything's set back there so I can come up here and play with my toys. I hear little toys back there. I have big people toys up here. Just because I'm lazy like that and think I have to use my electronics. But you know, if you spend all the time and effort to look them up and buy them, you may as well use them. There we go. So I'm standing here today on a journey that started probably 2 months ago. Sometime in March, pastor's like, oh, well, isn't it your turn soon? It's been a while. What are you going to talk about? I was like, oh. And we went back and forth and back and forth, and one thing happened and another thing happened, and the preparation for this has been tough. Although I have to say, the scripture part was pretty easy. You know, you get online and you put in a search, and I found a list after list. Here's my stack of 3x5 cards. Each card has a scripture on it. These are the ones I decided not to use because I had way too many. These are the ones I used. And then I had to choose the order. I tell ya, that was tough. That I did last night. It was supposed to be during the day, but it ended up being last night. So yesterday, I was determined I was going to get this done during the day because I don't want to stay up till midnight. If I stay up till midnight, I want it to be because I'm watching a movie or reading a book, not because I'm unprepared and putting a message together. Well, I hauled a pile of books outside. I figured I'll sit outside. I won't be distracted with all the things I need to do in the house. I won't look at the long grass. It'll be fine. So I sat down. I sorted everything on the table. First, I had to clear the table off. Then I sorted everything on the table. And then I had earphones, and I put the earphones in because I had to drown out the 80s dance music. One of our neighbors, and I don't know which one, someone on the backside of our house, one or two houses over, I could hear all day long 80s dance music thumping. The worst part is I could sing all the words. It dates me a little. That's okay. And it's not that that's a bad thing, but that's a really bad thing when you need to study. So I was like, okay, I'll find something classical to stick in my ears so I won't pay any attention to anything, and then I can focus on the words in front of me. It was a great idea. I sat down, I opened Pandora, and I was waiting for it to load, and my phone rang. My phone rarely rings. And it was my little brother. I was like, well, my brother's in Price. Why is he calling? He wasn't in Price. He was around the corner. He and our cousin got a wild hair. Well, let's go to Salt Lake. Let's go out. Let's go celebrate or party or whatever. They're 28 and 30 years old, so they're young enough. Single guys out for a night on the town. Ended up at the Westerner. Found a hotel close by there at 3 in the morning. Stayed till it was time to check out. Got in the car. Click. There was nothing. No starter. The battery was fine. No starter. Well, the smart boy that he is, I say boy, and he's 30, grown man, I know, kids of his own, but he's still my little brother. He's still a boy to me in a lot of ways. He calls, and I was like, I would be happy to come rescue you. And I could hear him just grin, okay. So I went and found him, and we went to AutoZone and got a new part, and I'm like, do I need to pay for this? He's probably. Not a problem. It's okay. If you have an impromptu trip to Salt Lake from Price, first, it's a two-hour drive. Second, the money you have in your pocket, if you're out partying, it tends to go pretty fast. And third, who thinks their car's going to break down? I never thought, my car would break down in my party days. So we had the chance to visit for a couple hours. First, we went to AutoZone. Then we went back to the house, and I gave my brother a work shirt because he had his nice shirt on. I was like, well, you don't want to work on the car in that. Here, I have one that'll work. This is the one I use when I plan on getting dirty. He's like, oh, that's great. It feels good right in the kitchen. He takes his shirt off, puts the other one on. Happy kid. And then if you come to my house, odds are we'll ask if you're hungry. And I know the boys had been out partying. And I'm like, what do you want to eat? Didn't really give them much of a choice if they wanted to eat, but what they wanted. Then we sat and visited for a few minutes. Grabbed some tools, and off we went back to the hotel so he could fix the car. I spent 2 hours with him. It was a short visit. We took care of the car business. We spent time talking. I got to listen to their plans for the future. And the forward motion, a of the boys, the men that they've become, and the men they're still becoming. And in that, I found more hope. So with that in mind, let's take it to the Lord. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here, to be gathered together in this place to hear your word. And I thank you, Lord, that even though the message was a struggle, may it speak to the ears and hearts of those who need your encouragement, who need your reminders. Lord, let me be an instrument and let your word shine through. In Jesus' name. I purposely chose this picture. I'm not sure if you can tell, because, I mean, it's a, what, blade of grass growing in a desert? It's about hope. More specifically, it's about hope in a future, because I'll bet you that little blade of grass isn't done growing yet. It's just getting started. It's struggling to grow in what looks like a desert. And how many of us have felt like that? How many of us feel like we're trudging through? Don't answer this one, but how many struggle to survive every day? It's not an easy thing. It's amazing that, you know, people make it look easy. It's not easy. It can be tough getting up every morning, getting out of bed, getting dressed, going through the motions. And sometimes it is merely going through the motions. Life certainly isn't always easy. But much like that little plant, flower, blade of grass, whatever it grows into, something on the inside of us refuses to give up. And just like that, in that parched desert, we keep pushing through. Here we are. If you doubted, if you wondered, here we are. We didn't stay home. We didn't curl up. We didn't choose to be someplace else. We chose to be here. One of the definitions I found for hope says, an attitude toward the future, an assurance that God's promises will be kept, a confidence that what is bad will pass and what is good will be preserved. Hope is also an inner sense of confidence in God, a serenity despite terrible present circumstances. Whatever strengthens faith will also increase hope. I really liked that definition. That's how it got to be first. It's that reminder. And then we turn to the Bible. And Psalm 39:7 asks us, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? The answer, my only hope is in you. Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. Many of us have had a rough year so far. It is an understatement. It's been, we're in May, we're in the middle of May, but man, it's been hard getting here. There's been one thing after another. Kay and I have had a tough year. I know Barry's had his losses. I know Chris has had hers. And they're life-changing, life-altering losses. So what do you do with something like that? Well, since 2 months ago, I was supposed to give this message. I prepare. I do the best I can to prepare. I gather information from books. I do online research because it's a lot easier for me to find the scriptures online. So you go online, go to Google, say hope, and all this stuff pops up. That's how you get a stack like this. And that's only part of it. But after that, I want something a little more in-depth, and I don't want to be online and have 20 million results. So I go to my stack of books and have a lot of them. So yesterday when I gathered my pile, I thought, well, I need a Bible. And I was like, oh, well, here's a Bible dictionary. And some of these are pastors. And I was like, oh, Bible Answers. I can use something like that. Well, maybe I need a different translation of the Bible. And you know, there's bound to be something else. So by the time, and that was only part of the pile, because the first part of my pile of books that sat next to my bed for the last month, I put away, finally, because I already looked in them and I knew I didn't want anything, that they didn't have what I wanted. So I took my new pile, you know, outside where I wouldn't be so distracted by all the house stuff. So I had the stack of books. Part of me wishes I had taken a picture, because when I brought the boys to the house, we stopped it by the front of the house, and I said, we don't use the front door. We go around back. So I went back in the house, and then I went back out, and my cousin was there, and he looks at the table, or had them stacked on a little table, and he looks, and he's like, You have to read all those books? He's not a reader. And I said, no, I don't have to read them. That's just because I just need to look up one thing. But I'm going to look that thing up in all of the books. Oh, that's a lot of books. Oh, well, that's what I thought. And the point of telling you that is that it feels like the losses we've gone through lately are like that stack, layer upon layer, loss after loss. And it gets heavy. The higher you stack, the heavier they get. All of the losses have done the same thing. They're weighing us down. Feels like weight on our shoulders. There are days there, I mean, everything's still pretty fresh, but Kay struggles at work. She says, I wish I was home. I'm sorry, we're here. You can go home if you can. No, I have a meeting. I have this. I have that. Reality. Sometimes reality stinks because we have to do what we have to do. We have to get up. We have to go to work. We have all those responsibilities. But it doesn't stop. That doesn't stop, nor does the heartache stop. But we can ease it. The cares of this world are real. Caring for others can hurt in the moment when you have a fight, when you suffer a loss. But it's in those times of caring that we learn to treasure the little things. In the times of hurt, we can find strength outside of ourselves and hold on to God's promises, if we know what they are. Isaiah 40:31 reminds us, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. That should be familiar because it's one of the songs. In Romans 8:18, we have, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Not now, but later. There's something else there. I've had my own taste of that strength and glory. My dad passed away in 2001. I was angry. It was completely unexpected. It was a terrible surprise. We didn't have a church home. We didn't have a church family. We didn't have any foundation. We didn't have any biblical, well, I didn't have any biblical foundation. And Kay's came from another church, and it was more about doing than being. So I felt like I was living inside of a storm. Or rather, the storm was living inside of me. So I would pick fights. I would pick on Kay, and I would pick fights with Kay. And I'd hurt her feelings, and then I'd feel bad, and then I'd have to. And then I was just angry all the time. I didn't know what to do with all of the anger and frustration and hurt. Because for me, I tend to find it easier to be angry than to be sad. I'd rather get mad than cry about it. What's funny is Kay will get so mad that she cries. So it's a little bit different dynamic there. I see she's not the only one. But eventually, we sat down and we talked about it, and we came up with color codes for the day so that I could express how I was feeling, and she knew not to take it personally. I had dark gray cloud days, and then I had the gray days, and then I had blue days. I mean, over time, the dark ones lessened and, yeah, I moved toward the lighter ones, but it was a long process. Obviously, we weathered the storm because we're still here together. It was a tough storm. 6 years later, we lost Kay's dad. By then, we had a church home and support system. We learned how to read the Bible and understand a lot of what we read instead of what somebody told us it meant. We learned how to read for ourselves. Kay went through the emotions. She was sad and hurt and sorry for the loss. But through the heartache, she was able to find hope through her vertical relationship and Bible promises for what comes next. There is a life after this one. This is temporary. In 2 Corinthians, we read, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. But I tell you, when you're in the middle of it, you feel like you're never going to get out of it. And I think that's a normal part. Years later, when you look back, I can look back at losing my dad now. It's like, oh, well, that was really tough, but we got through it. And as a result, this relationship grew stronger and this relationship grew stronger. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Boy, I look forward to seeing my family again. My grandpa passed away in 2000. In 1999, He told Kay, he was in the nursing home, and he grabbed her hand and he told her, "You take care of my girl." I was shocked. I was like, "Hey, Grandpa, you, okay." All these years later, here we are. You know, by all means, don't ignore the feelings. Don't ignore that grief. Don't ignore the pain. Don't ignore the hurt. Feel the feels. Someone told me not too long ago, feel the feels. But know that we walk through. The valley ends in green pastures, quiet waters, and a banquet table. And when I wrote that this morning, in my last minute editing, I was reminded of the 23rd Psalm in the Amplified, because I really, really like the picture it paints. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Not on that dry, hard desert floor. It's green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. How many have ever read that in the Amplified? It's a little different spin than what we traditionally hear, and I like the extras because I think by itself it's an outline, and in the Amplified with the extra words, it fills in the colors of the picture. One of my many books at home is a Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, but I don't remember seeing any illustrations. When I looked up hope, I found a fantastic article. One of the ways they have different authors contribute articles, and they choose from there. So the beginning and the end of the hope article. Hope. Trustful expectation, particularly with reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. Biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is the confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do for us in the future. This contrasts to the world's definition of hope as a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Given the assurance of hope, Christians live in the present with confidence and face the future with courage. They can also meet trials triumphantly because they know that affliction produces endurance, endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. Such perseverance is not passive resignation, it is the confident endurance in the face of opposition. There is, therefore, certitude in the Christian hope that amounts to a qualitative difference from ordinary hope. So Christian hope is different from regular, plain old, "Oh, I wish that would happen." Christian hope is the gift of God. We have this hope like a sure and firm anchor of the soul. I'm not quite sure where that went. I had the passage from Romans in my pile of note cards, but it wasn't just the two verses they have. I have 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know, or rather we learn, that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The last verse in New King James puts it this way. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yeah, I looked at that scripture list and I thought, I could just read that. I don't even have to put the stuff in between. The Bible takes the whole story itself. But I like the in-between stuff too. So another definition defined hope this way. A gift of the Holy Spirit that with faith and love is an essential characteristic of the Christian when prophecies, tongues, and knowledge pass away. And we'll get to that in just a minute. The biblical concept of hope is not mere expectation and desire, but includes trust, confidence, refuge in the God of hope. So the whole scripture for 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." And in verse 13, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." I happen to have the Romans verse in the stack too. I tell you, the stack was crazy. 15:13. "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." So by now, I'm sure you've noticed, hope is all over the Bible. And those are just verses that say hope. There's a lot more that indicate hope. That was another list from another book that I left out for you. This life is tough, but we don't have to go through it alone. We have a Bible to guide us and encourage us and teach us. We have a Creator and Savior on our side. We have a Holy Spirit living on the inside. And we have a church family and friends to lean on. Lamentations chapter 3 tells us, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." I know that's one of Kay's favorites. She didn't know that was in here. But that's another promise for us, for each one of us. No matter what happens, God's love never ends. And his mercies are new every morning. Don't give up. Spend some time with God. Find out what comes next. Keep asking the questions. Keep reading the book. Keep writing. Keep searching. Proverbs 24:14 says, "Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." The more we learn, the more we hope. Isn't that something to celebrate? In Psalm 118, we're reminded, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I get an extra reminder on that one because remember when Pastor handed us all notebooks and told us to study and write? I tend to be more of a journaler than a studier. So we went shopping and I found a cute little notebook. And right there on the cover, every day when I go to work, I have an extra 20 minutes after I drop Kay off and before I have to start working, I take my notebook with me and write whatever. And it says right on the cover, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So most days I walk to work singing in my head because there's a song, a kid's song. And it's a good way to start. It's a good reminder for the day. Even if what's inside isn't so great, I always have a last look at the outside before I put it back in my backpack. Oh yeah, this is my choice. Rejoicing and being glad is a choice. We can choose to stay in the darkness of sorrow and grief, or we can choose to find the beauty in the small things, seeking the light, like that little blade of grass. It's not easy. Some days the best thing you can do for yourself is cry it out and cry out to God. He listens. I have a book. This is off. I know. It's a surprise by now. I'm hearing the chuckles. Yeah. I set myself up for that. Years ago, I lived with my grandma in the 90s, in the late 90s. And I worked in an elementary school and they had book sales. Or maybe it was at work. Anyway, I bought this book for my grandma. It's called Joy for a Woman's Soul. I'll be darned if she hasn't been going through her stuff little by little. She wrote my name in the cover, and she gave it back. I read it. You can have it back. I don't need it anymore. I can't see the words. They're too small. Well, that part makes sense. My grandma stands this tall now, shoulder height to me, little bitty thing. Feisty, the queen. For Mother's Day, she hit her head and gave herself a goose egg, and I sat her down and gave her an ice pack, and she's sitting in her chair with the ice pack on her head like this, a big square one. She's holding it, and she's looking around, and then she says, "Kay." I'm the queen and I have a crown. It makes my heart happy, those moments. And those are the little things. But I was flipping through last night because it was sitting next to my desk. I was like, well, I'll pick that up and see what's in it. I found something fun. Did you know that an opal is a stone with a broken heart? Made of dust, sand, and silica, it is full of minute fissures that allow air to be trapped inside. The trapped air refracts the light, resulting in the lovely hues that inspire the opal's nickname, the lamp of fire. When kept in a cold, dark place, the opal loses its luster. But when held in a warm hand, or when the light shines on it, the luster is restored. So it is with us. A broken heart becomes a lamp of fire when we allow God to breathe on it and warm us with his life. If things are tough, remember that every flower that ever bloomed had to go through a whole lot of dirt to get there. The Almighty Father will use life's reverses to move you forward. So do not keep grieving about a bitter experience. The present is slipping by while you're regretting the past and worrying about the future. Regret will not prevent tomorrow's sorrows. It will only rob today of its strength. So keep on believing. With Jesus, you have not a hopeless end, but an endless hope. And I'm not saying don't feel the feels. Feel the feels and know they're not going to last forever. Hold on to the promises. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. So Romans 12:12 tells us, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And remember, praying is talking to God. We can and should do it anytime, any place. He's always listening. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to be on your knees. It's a conversation with a friend. Let the relationship renew your heart. As a bonus, I thought I would share something I've hauled around for the last 20-something years. I had a friend who had an inspiration wall in her bedroom. She had one wall, and she had 3x5 cards and papers, all kinds stuck everywhere. That was her wall. And from the first moment I read this, I've loved it. I loved it so much that one of my aunts read it for me at my dad's funeral. I would not exchange the laughter of my heart for the fortunes of the multitudes. Nor would I be content with converting my tears invited by my agonized self into calm. It is my fervent hope that my whole life on this earth will ever be tears and laughter. Tears that purify my heart and reveal to me the secret of life and its mystery. Laughter that brings me closer to my fellow men. Tears with which I join the brokenhearted. Laughter that symbolizes joy over my very existence, by Khalil Gibran. And that's a lot of what this life is. We don't recognize joy if we haven't had sorrow. It's one for another. Happy. What is happy? What's the baseline for happy? How do you know happy unless you know sad? So many things are that way. We have to go through what we have to go through. But in all of that trudging sometimes, we're growing. We're stretching like rubber bands, and that can be painful. But we're growing, we're maturing, we're developing our relationship. So in closing, I'd like to offer a couple more scriptural reminders. Two more, I promise, then we're done. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. With all of that in mind, Psalm 96:1 encourages us to sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. And that's the cover. The singing part is a choice. And I encourage you to remember to sing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope and encouragement that are found in the Bible. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the journey that you have each of us on, that there is hope and there is a future. God, we put our trust in you because we can't do this by ourselves. There's no way. We would buckle under the weight. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can cry out to you, that we can cry, and then we can go through what we have to go through, knowing that we'll come out on the other side because you're there. You're there with your arms open. Thank you for creating us in your image, the spiritual children that we are. Help us be more like Jesus. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church, for this family, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.